thought that we have on our heart this morning is not new. As a matter of fact, it is the old, old story. And the subject is on faith. I wonder how many messages have actually been preached on faith from the time that preaching began. Probably there's no way for us to know. But I did get online, Church of God Preaching, and I entered the word faith, and it came up a good number. I didn't count them, but I sort of observed and looked at their titles. And there's various titles to messages that they speak on faith. I'm just going to give you a few. Probably one that's very common, it says, have faith in God. Well, that's the scripture, and it became the title of some of those messages. So we could probably say this one would fall under that title also. There was a title that said, how big is your God? Does that sort of whet your appetite? Well, I had to look and see who preached that one, and I don't often name names, but I will this time. That one was Brother Bob Salee. And Brother Bob Salee has already gone to meet his reward. But would you like to sort of hear what he had to say about how big is your God? I would. Didn't have time, but I would. Another familiar one was hold fast to your faith. That could be one that, well, we might even say today it falls under that title too. There's another one that said fixed faith. That's a good title for faith, isn't it? Because we know that every one of us need to have our faith fixed where it is unmovable. There was a title that said, Trials of Faith. We probably, everyone, could relate to that message. Whatever it says about the trying of our faith, we automatically would think of the scripture about the trying of our faith. It's going to be common. You and I are going to be tried in our faith. There was another one that is also a scripture, and it says, faith works by love. We can maybe say, well, today's message could come under that title also. And then there was one that said, and I'm not giving you all, I'm just giving you a few that sort of impressed me as I read through them. Greater faith. Do we need greater faith? We do. Always. I don't believe that there is some little plane that I can come to and this is as much faith as I'm ever going to have and I'm not going to have to work for anymore. I don't believe that. The disciples said to Jesus in one place, they said, increase our faith. And I believe that that needs to be our cry in our prayers even. Lord, increase my faith. And don't be afraid to ask for an increase of faith. Just as people are sometimes afraid to ask for patience because they'll think they'll have a trial to be tested in patience. The same with some, they will be afraid to ask for an increase of faith because they will think they will be. Don't draw back from that. It's a wonderful thing to have our faith grow and to be increased. Thank the Lord. Well, I have about three different key points that I would like to address this morning out of many. I don't think one message can cover all of faith. So we're just going to give a little piece of this pie, you might say, of the whole pie of faith. But the beginning scripture I have is Hebrews 11 and 6. And like I said, this is the old, old story. I would say everyone here has either read or heard these scriptures read many times down through your life. Maybe you could even quote them and not even have to read them. This particular chapter, of course, we count as the heroes of faith. But the sixth verse is an important verse for you and me to be reminded of. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. I think that's one reason it is so important for us to have messages on faith occasionally. We don't want to just presume that everyone has all the faith that they need and they're doing fine, and so we're not going to stir up your pure mind to remember something. No, I think that we need to be reminded that faith is something that pleases God. And without it, I don't please Him. And then it says, for he, now this is an important key point, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He is what? That He is God. In essence, that's what it's saying. So if you have come to God, if you, and remember, He has to draw us, and then He gives us faith, thank the Lord. But if I have come to God, I must believe that He is God. We're in a world of gods, many different kinds of gods. We have other gods that are being worshipped by many people. But for you and me to have the great knowledge and understanding and belief and faith that there is one God, one true God, did you know you're blessed if you believe that this morning? You're blessed. I'm blessed. I'm not in confusion. I'm not wondering, well, what if He's not the only true God? What if there is another one? Oh, to be free from those kind of doubts and fears and questions, and to believe He is God. Amen. He is the one true God. Praise God. To believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now there's a little key thought here. We can believe He is God, but also the devils believed. The devils know He is the one true God. They know it. But it doesn't save them. But for you and me to believe that He is the one true God and that He is a rewarder, that's His part. He will reward you for your faith. But what's my part? Diligently seeking Him. If you want an increase in faith, you must diligently seek the one that can give it to us and believe in Him. So that's one of our key scriptures this morning, and we're going to go to the next one, is Romans 10 and 17. And it says faith, and this is a key scripture. Oh, there's many. Faith cometh how? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. I want to say it's almost a little obscure, but I think that we can all understand when it says hearing by the word, we could say hearing the word of God. Because faith is going to increase in you and me if we hear. Now, what are we hearing? Well, hearing was first given by the word of God spoken out of his mouth to Abraham. God spoke to him, literally, he heard the word of God, and it said he believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. Because he believed what he heard. He didn't see him, but he heard him. Now, it would seem to be easier if we heard an audible voice, but we don't. We are in a time that faith is not by sight. It is not going to be by hearing necessarily, because I have to hear the word of God spoken. But faith is in the word of God, and I read it. That's the same as hearing it. I hear it when I come to service, or I may hear it in my devotions, maybe as we read to each other. I've been real impressed how that the Lord has blessed in the last few weeks during the time I've been sick and waking up in the night and really being in trouble. And what we do, we go to prayer. But in a little bit, I'm saying, I want the word of the Lord. And so he would get his Bible and he would start reading, and the Lord would so anoint it. And as he would read, and I've said this here before, but I'm telling you, it's impressed it upon me that I need to say these words over and over. And I want to encourage all of us to say it. And when he would read it, I would say, I believe it. And he'd read another one, and I'd say, I believe it. And I just continually affirmed, I believe the word of God. Did you know that in the Old Testament, and this just comes to my mind, so I cannot tell you exactly where it was, but it was a part where the children of Israel, they had not had the law for a long time. It had been lost. And it was found. And as they began to open it up to the people and the one that was reading it, you know what the people began to say out loud? I believe it. It is so important for you and me to say those words, because it's part of your faith. Even as the word is being given this morning, for you to say it in your heart, I believe it, is strengthening that faith and confidence and trust. So I'm going to encourage you this morning that as the word is being read, you don't have to say it necessarily about my words, but when it's the word of the Lord, you say it in your heart, I believe it. Oh, I think it's important. So, faith is, it was first inspired, as we can see in this chapter, historical events. People of the Old Testament, they didn't have the privilege that you and I have of reading the Word of God, picking it up and reading it any time of the day that we wish. They didn't have it that way. But they were. It was told over and over to every generation. It was passed on. And they believed it. And it became the accounts then. The accounts were repeated. And then you and I have those accounts. And some of those are listed here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And when you and I hear it, and we don't doubt, that the miracles happened, that even though science can explain away how it happened, or that it even happened, but for you and me to hear it, has strengthened our faith, has caused our faith to be seed and to germinate and to grow. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to hear these accounts and it enter into our heart and we believe it. Thank the Lord. So hearing the word of the Lord is very important. We had a message, I don't know, a couple of Sundays ago or some time ago, from Malachi 3 and 10. And this time I'm going to read most of the verse, the latter part of it. But it was, "Prove me now, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." And listen to the latter part. "That there shall not be room enough to receive it." Do you believe it? Do you believe that God wants to bless his people to that extent? That he wants to pour out blessings in your life that you can hardly take it in? It's so rich. It's so precious, and maybe we might even say it's almost unbelievable. Maybe because we may be a little shocked at such rich blessings being poured out. We come to prayer meeting, and oftentimes after we have said, "I thank the Lord that I am saved and sanctified," or we may even say it in our prayers, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings." He wants to bless his people, but we will have to have faith, and we will have to believe his word, and we will have to believe who he is, and we will have to believe he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Those are key points. You're going to have to believe it. And a little bit farther in the next verse, it tells what else he wants to do for you and me. It says that he wants to rebuke the devourer. Who is the devourer? It is Satan. It is every opposing power that Satan wants to bring against the people of God to hinder faith. And it says he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And it says he will not destroy the fruit of your land. He will prosper us. Oh, we're not looking for big bank accounts. That's not the prosperity that we're looking for. We're looking for spiritual prosperity, spiritual growth, growth in faith. Seeking diligently, earnestly. It also says that all nations will see that you are blessed. I mean, I've paraphrased that. I must mention here that this one is contingent. And if you go back to the beginning of that verse, it is contingent on you and me giving of our means and making sure that there is meat in the house of the Lord. And it will pay you to understand what that means, because it's not talking about dinner. It's talking about spiritual food. And if you are spiritual and you're coming here this morning in the spirit, and you're contributing to it, and you're giving of your means, the house of the Lord will be blessed. And then he will say, "Now you prove me. You see if I won't do this. I am a rewarder of those that diligently seek me. Do you believe it?" Thank the Lord. All of this has to be done by faith. Or in faith, so we must believe who he is. The next point is a small portion of a scripture in Galatians 5 and 6. And it says, and it was the title of one of the messages that we gave, "Faith worketh by love." Oh, you say, but I love everybody. How much do you love God? Because the scripture says that you and I must love the Lord our God, or thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And then it says, you've got to love God first. And when we love God, we're going to love His Word.
Yes.
And then it says, to love my neighbor as myself. And it goes a step farther. It says, love your enemies. And love those that persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. So we're put to the test. If we want faith that works, we need the love of God in our heart. And I'm going to say that you have to seek for it diligently. You have to pray. You have to ask God, Lord, put your love in my heart. A major point of our success with the Lord is if we are able to forgive those that trespass against us. And we must have a forgiving heart. And to have a forgiving heart, we will have His love in our heart. We must first love Him with all of our might, all of our being, love His Word, seek diligently for it. You want your faith to work? This is how. This is the avenue in which faith will be effective in your life and in my life, is seeking those things that are above and not the things of the earth. We have to live in this world, yes. God knows the things we have need of, yes. But I want to tell you something. God knows when we're seeking the things above more than the things of the earth. When it means more to me than my earthly possessions and my cares of life and my pleasures of life. God gives us pleasures. He doesn't give us worldly pleasures, but He does make our lives pleasurable, isn't it? Aren't you happy in the Lord? Oh, I'm happy in the Lord. I'm happy with the way He has led me and taught me. I'm happy. So we need to pray, don't we? How do we build faith? All of the above. Again, I want to say we need to pray for our faith to be increased. We need to pray for love to be increased. And we need to pray to believe, that our believing will be stronger. We had a little lesson with Paul this morning, and I didn't even realize how much it would even coordinate with the thoughts this morning. I was asking him what his favorite Bible story was, and he named a few. But we ended up on Daniel in the Lion's Den. Seems like that's a favorite one. And so we didn't really read it. We just talked about it. And we talked about Daniel and how that... was he afraid as he stood at the mouth of the lion's den? Well, Paul said, no, he wasn't afraid. Well, you see, you and I know the end of the story, but he didn't know the end of the story. Daniel did not know the end of the story. And I say he was afraid, just as any human being would be afraid. And I'll tell you one reason why, because I don't think he had ever heard of another man that had been thrown to the lion's den that the lions could not eat him. He didn't have somebody else that he could look to. But you and I do now. He didn't. And so he's standing there, and I feel like that he would be saying, God, whatever your will is, I'm not backing up. Well, we know the end of the story. But then I told him about some martyrs. Martyrs, God didn't shut the lions' mouths. He didn't save them from the fire. And maybe they only had to suffer for a few hours. And then we talked about the one that lives for God for many, many years and endures hardness as a good soldier and then gets old. Which one's going to receive the most glory? Daniel experienced the angel coming down and closing the mouth of the lions. And he survived. And we know by that what God can do. It doesn't mean it hasn't happened somewhere. It's just not recorded for you and me to know about it. But if God did it once, could he not do it again? I believe he could. I believe God is a God of power and in control of all things. I believe that. I have faith that God is God. And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, if Daniel had heard the law that had been made, you're not to pray to any other god now. He was accustomed to doing it 3 times a day, and he said, well, I can just stop for a while. Did you know they would have caught him some way out, some other way? But he had faith. And he continued in the face of being slain by the lions. Oh, I was blessed by the story again. So you and I are needing an increase in all of these things. Trust, faith, believing, loving, growing and increasing are actually the purpose and the goal should be of every saint of God. Don't ever be satisfied to stay at an infant level of your salvation. Don't ever be satisfied with an adolescent stage. Go on. Remember the part there in the scripture where it spoke about stepping into the water? And I think it was just ankle deep. Did you know a lot of people like to be in just the shallow part of the water? But they went on out. It got deeper. It got up so far. Well, I'm going to tell you personally and humanly speaking on my part, I don't like my face underwater. I'm not a good swimmer. I can dog paddle. And I can float, and that's it. I can't save anyone. I'd go down with them. That's it. But the writer of this, the water came up to the neck. Now, I'm afraid I would have stopped right there. But his feet went off of the bottom. And he was in water that he swam. That's the goal for you and me spiritually. We don't have to be afraid we're going to die if we get our face plunged in. Oh, thank the Lord. He's calling for us to grow in these things. Allow it to be intense in our life. Feel the intensity. Feel the urgency for faith, just because the scripture says that Jesus said, "Will I find faith?" I'm telling you, it indicates that there is low faith, but you and I don't have to be low in faith. We can be strong in faith. I believe this. I believe the Lord is wanting to increase all of us in faith. He wants to increase us in knowledge and understanding, because that will affect our faith. It affects us. Thank the Lord. He wants you and me to grow in grace. Have more grace when the trials are harder. When the fire seems hotter. He wants us to have more grace. Why? Because it increases our faith. There's something happening when we're going through the fire. It's affecting us in our faith. Thank the Lord. I want to talk to you just a little bit about exercise. You know, the Bible speaks about bodily exercise. And we all know that we have to have a certain amount of physical exercise, or we will lose the use of our body. If you have a broken arm or any kind of a broken bone, limb, while it's immobile in a cast, the joints become absolutely frozen. After you have the cast taken off and the bone is healed, you have to go through the process of having that broken in those joints in order to have use of your arm. When I was in the wreck, by the time my arm wouldn't heal, it was in that position for several months, and by the time I could do it, I couldn't move it. And so I had to have all of these joints broken, in order, not broken in two, but they were frozen stiff. I couldn't move them. Physically, we have to keep moving. We have to have some form of movement to keep moving. I'm thinking about the exercise of my brain, my mind. What if you never fed your mind? You just were stale. You didn't read the Word. You didn't feed on His Word. You didn't seek after it in your mind. We need our mind to be spiritual. It's not totally there in the mind, but I'm telling you, it affects us. Exercise is extremely important to us physically and mentally. But how is it with faith? We need to exercise faith too. Faith is something that, well, it's likened to a grain of mustard seed. And I know that that means also pure. Mustard seed doesn't mix with anything else. So you have an analogy of it being pure, pure faith. It's not going to be mixed with unbelief, because unbelief and faith can't mix. But a mustard seed is the least of all seeds. Faith is something that starts out small. You're not going to grow and have the faith of somebody that has been in the faith for 50 years. You should not expect yourself to jump hurdles and to be way down over here, you will have missed something in growing to that point. God works with every one of us in our salvation and also our faith to grow in it. Step by step, little by little. And he even says it in one place, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. That's how he designed for you and me to grow. Grow in grace, grow in knowledge, grow in faith, grow in our salvation. That's how it is. I'm going to say, don't allow the enemy to accuse you that you don't have the faith of so-and-so. And there is a scripture that fits. And it tells us that it is not wise for you and me to compare ourselves among ourselves. And it is not wise for me to compare my faith to your faith. It's not wise. God wants to be unique to you and unique to me. And he wants to prove himself to me as well as you. He wants to open up the windows of heaven to me and pour me out a blessing, just like he wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. That's how it is. He wants you to taste and see that the Lord is good. He wants you to have the flavor in your taste buds. He wants you to have the experience. He wants you to remember the experiences. Really, we all should be writing down some of our experiences. Because the word of the Lord said, and a book of remembrance was written. We have all of these that we can look to. And you need to be remembering. Every time the Lord answered prayer for you, every time he worked a miracle for you, every time he healed you, every time he answered a little tiny prayer, you need to remember it. Is God interested in the little things? Yes. Absolutely. Is he interested in the big things? Absolutely. You cannot ask too largely. I could not find my little Springs in the Valley, but I read this week, and I hope I can tell it. It was, who was it, honey? That his servant asked for a large sum of money. He told him he could. It's somebody from history.
Oh, it was Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great. It's in this book, and I got so much good out of it. And there's just a little article, and he told his the man that was under him, and he was a poor man. And he told him, he said, "Do you ask for anything that you need?" That man took him at his word. And he went to the treasurer and he asked for a huge amount of money. And the treasurer turned him down. Like, how dare him to ask Alexander from him such a huge amount. And he went to Alexander the Great and he said, he asked for this amount of money. And you know what he said? He said, write it out. Give it to him. It honors me that he felt I was that wealthy. Did you know God feels that way about it? Can you ask too largely? We limit God. Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask largely. If your faith can take it in, if your life is backing it up, if you can come before the Lord and say, Lord, search me. If you see that I have no wickedness in me, Will you bless me? And then ask largely. It's an honor to Him for you to have that kind of faith. But what about little tiny things? Oh, I think I have faith for little things. Paul, this morning, I read two little stories to him, and I actually cried. It touched my heart so much. And the first little story is written by Sister Charlotte. We're talking about asking now about little small things. God is so... Remember the message we had? God is mindful of you and me. Well, as the story went that Sister Charlotte told, her children were in school. Tim Husky, he was in kindergarten at the time, and the other two were in second grade and fourth grade, I think. And she gets this letter that they're going to have this little program at school, and they're to dress in Sunday clothes, and the boys were to have only black shoes. Well, Tim didn't have any black shoes. And they had just used all of the money that they had to pay for their rent. They had no money. Well, when it came the devotions, they prayed for Tim to have some black shoes. Did you know you need to be specific? God appreciates you just asking specifically for what you need. And He said, I will supply all of your needs, not your wants necessarily, but your needs, according to my riches and glory. And the next day, I think it was, Paul was it, the next day they got a package in the mail. And what was in the box? A pair of black shoes that fit Tim. They did not know where the shoes came from. They did not know the person that sent it. Nothing was said. Only God knew. It's a little thing. Can you trust Him for the little things and the big things? Can you have faith? Well, then there's another story I read him that was so touching. And it's a true story. It said true story on it. And it was like 1949. And it was Christmas Eve. And, you know, this man and his wife that had a little store had sold nearly all of their toys. And back then, you know, I had to explain to him what layaway was. People put things on layaway in order to pay it off by Christmas. There was one package that was left in layaway that nobody came to claim when they closed the shop. The next day was Christmas, and it was sort of a, she said in the writing, a humdrum day. Their children were getting older and not quite as much fun. And so she was feeling a little bit down, the woman was. But a thought came to her mind. Go open the store. Oh, that's silly. It's sleeting and it's snowing and I don't need to go down there. She pushed the thought away and it became stronger. And stronger. And finally she put her coat on and she starts walking down to the store, slipping and sliding on the sidewalks. She gets to the store and there's two little boys out in front. The younger one had been crying. And the older little boy, he said, I told you she would come. They were ill-clothed, hardly had sufficient shoes. And he explains that his little brother never got anything for Christmas, but he had $3 and he wants a pair of skates. She takes them in, she gets them warm. And there's no skates. And then she says, oh, wait just a minute. There's one package left in layaway. And she opened it, and it was a pair of skates. And she said, oh, Lord, help it to fit his feet. They fit his feet. And she wouldn't take the money, and she wanted them to have some gloves and things. And oh, it's a tender story. As they walked out the door, she said to the older little boy, how did you know I would be here to open the store? And he said, I asked Jesus to send you. That's a little thing. I told Paul, I said, you know, I imagine that little boy never forgot that answer to prayer. That's what the Lord wants to do for every one of us. You've got some little things in your life that he wants to bless, but he wants you to ask so that you can turn around and say, God answered my prayer. He blessed me. He did this for me. And when you tell it, others hear it. And hearing, faith comes by hearing. Was your faith touched this morning when I told those two stories? It touched my faith. It encouraged my faith. You know, I've got some things I want the Lord to work out, and some of them look like mountains. And yet he speaks about mountains. You got some mountains in your life? Have faith. Have faith in God. He is God. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Oh, this morning, I want us all to seek to increase in faith. Exercise faith. Thank the Lord. Oh, I have a few more scriptures, but I'm going to stop. Pray for me.